place as the land of Beulah. Amen. And I tell you, it's a sweet thought to realize that that's where we're going one of these days, is to God's Beulah land. And He's going to do some great things for me and you till we get there. But, man, one day it's all going to be over. The battles will be over. The fight will be done. The fight will be won. And we will be victorious. Amen? So thank God for that. Amen. Well, take your Bibles tonight. Let's look again. We're going to look in the Old Testament into the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. If you know where that is, it's way before you get to 1st and 2nd Hezekiah anyway. But Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Okay, go to chapter number 8, if you will, with me. The Lord has been giving the Word of God to Moses and, you know, telling him, instructing him and instructing him to instruct the people that are that have come out of the land of Egypt, giving the instructions there. So they're learning some things. They're learning all the things as far as, you know, what to do and how to do and why and all of those things that you
and I learn as you're saved. I mean, and as you come into the family of the Lord, it's one thing, okay? You're saved, you get into this thing, that's one thing. But then there's so much more to learn to add to that. And I believe as you look at this, these are some lessons we'll just call it this, lessons to remember. Lessons to remember. So look in verse number 1 with me, if you will, in chapter number 8. And it's actually, you know, just a continuation of what's already been said in chapter 7. But it says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee own, or make thee know that the man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for your word, and thank you for the word that speaks to our heart, that says something to us tonight. And I pray that all of this may go out and say something to the heart of every one of us that are here this evening. Give us direction, give us wisdom, give us some clarity of our thought and of our mind. And Lord, more than anything, help us to see how that we ought to be obedient children unto the Lord. We thank you again for the evening and for all the blessings of it, for the day and the goodness of it. And I pray now, God, add to this reading, mix your Holy Ghost in with it, just stir our hearts and set us on fire from heaven, that we can be able to preach again, speak to every one of our hearts about those that are lost, and we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. As I said, these are some lessons that God wants the children of Israel to remember. There's just some things that it seems like here is God goes into this. He says, there are some things, there are some ideas that I want to plant toward you, and that that I want to give to you that you should remember these things. Matter of fact, as you go through the entirety of this chapter, there's a number of times that that word is there. And look there in verse number 2. He said, and thou shalt remember. All the way. He said, I want you to remember this. All the ways that God has dealt with you. There's some things you and I need to remember. And there's some lessons in the living that they have done. I mean, you think about this. These people have been out in the wilderness, and obviously they're still there, but as they've gone, and it's been 40 years. And you know what they've done in 40 years? They've gone round and round in circles. Amen? That's what they've done for 40 years. Now, I don't know how mindful they are of that idea that it's been just a big circuitous route that should not have taken them nearly this long. But you know what? You ever feel like you've been there in your life? That some days, hey, I've been here before. Hey, I've heard this before. Hey, I've seen this before. And it seemed like all you've done is made a big circle and you're back to square one. Amen? I'm just telling you, sometimes that's the way that our Christian lives are. Because guess what? We're like everybody else. We don't remember like we ought to. And the idea of this is the Lord said, look, I'm trying to get you to remember some things. But I think in this chapter, there's some outstanding things, I really feel like, that the Lord shows us that He wants us to know. There's some lessons, and there's some things He's already shown every one of us, and He wants us to remember those things. So look at this, Will, man. We'll break it down into just kind of three things, if you will, that the Lord says, remember this. I think in this chapter, now we did not read it all, and we'll go in here and read a few more verses. There's 20 total verses, and we read, through verse number 10, and we got halfway through it. But there's some things in this chapter that God gives them, and He's helping them to remember the idea of His financial provision. His financial provision. You and I need to see this and hear this today, and maybe especially in the days that we're living right now. I mean, listen, it takes finances for anything to go, right? For your family, for your home, for your life, I mean, for the church, for everything. There is a financial side to everything. You've got, and can I tell you, a lot of folks will ask you sometimes and say, well, preacher, you know, where should we go for financial advice? Can I tell you some of the best financial advice that you'll ever get in your life comes right out of the pages of this book right here. I mean, this is a good place to start when you're interested in finding out some basics and some even some deeper things and some questions you have about finances. Brother, the answers are all right here. Now, sometimes they may be a little more hidden than just, you know, boom, right out here in front of you. You may have to read and study and dig in a little bit. But there are many financial principles in the Word of God. And I want you to notice some of these in this chapter that you're going to see. First of all, I want you to notice, if you will, look down in verse number 14. Like I say, we hadn't got this far with her reading. But look in verse number 14. When the Lord is talking to him about when you get into land and you've been blessed and everything's going your way, look in verse number 14. He said, Then thine heart be lifted up. He said, if everything's going good, and then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Jump down to verse 17. And say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Let me show you a financial part of this, a financial side of this thinking that you and I need to remember. First of all, you remember that pride can be a problem. Pride can be a problem. When you think you've got everything handled in your financial situation, and you say, boy, look at this, and look at what I've done. And as a matter of fact, that's exactly what the Lord says here. He said in verse number 17, when you say in your heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Boy, when you begin to look at this thing with a prideful heart, you've got a financial problem. I mean, this is a basis of just some financial issues in our world. And I'll tell you, particularly for you and I of people that are calling ourselves Christians, you ought to understand, man, we ain't in this by ourselves. Amen? There's been a lot of times, and there's probably many of you that could tell the story and say, I had a financial need at some point, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and all I could do was depend upon God because I had no other place to go. I had no other option. I had no one else to turn to. But thank God that this got down and prayed, and God came through. Amen? I mean, that's a real principle. It's a real principle. God is teaching them this. You see this in verse number 14 again? He said, well, go back to verse 11 and we'll just context it from there. He said, beware lest that thou forget not the Lord thy God in the keeping of His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied. You better take heed. When you come from the bottom and God builds you up. He said, when your herds and your flocks and your silver and your gold and everything you've got gets multiplied. He said, and then your heart gets lifted up. You know what your heart says? Look what I did. Look what I have accomplished. Can I tell you, you haven't done it. God has been there with you. Thankfully, through the whole process. So first of all, this is a financial side of the event. Think about, remember this, there's the pride can be a problem. But second of all, the Lord says this, remember the provision and the provider. Look in verse number 18. He says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is He. You may have to highlight or underline or exclamation point beside this in your Bible. It is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. He said, hey, don't forget who's really providing what you've got. Don't you dare forget the provision that you enjoy. Do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said when you're praying, He said, pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And so on. And then He goes down and He said, give us this day our daily bread. Amen? What does that mean? That means, God, I'm looking to You for my daily provision. I've got to have God to get through a day. I'm just telling you that. Oh, listen, you know, we want to be like the guy was that said, well, I've got my barns full and my fields are done good and I've got so much I don't know what to do. I'll just tear down them, build bigger and buddy, everything will be bigger and better. But I want to tell you, hey, God's going to come just like He did to that man in that story and say, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who is that stuff going to belong to? Amen? What I'm saying is, you and I need to consider the provision, but we also need to consider the provider. There's a problem when pride gets mixed in there. We get to thinking, hey, that we did something. We're the one, boy, look what I did. You and I haven't done anything. God is the provider of all the provisions that you and I have. So, this is, as I say, we're looking at the financial thing. And not only that, you ought to do this. We ought to do this. We ought to be praising God for the plenty that He has put into our lives. Look in verse number 7. At the beginning of it, it said, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. God gave you what He has given. God's brought you to this place. He's telling those folks, and I mean, man, you and I ought to really be able to see that with the children of Israel. God said, I'm bringing you into the land of promise. I'm bringing you into Canaan. And when they went in, you know what was already there? There were already crops there. God had provided them. I mean, there was they came in and there was corn on the stalk. There was fruit on the vine. There was vegetables in the garden. Son, the trees was full of apples and oranges and whatever there was. Hey, they had it. Where did it come from? They didn't work for it. They didn't plant it. They didn't sweat over it. God just brought them in. Can I tell you, when you and I look at it, thank God, hey, I ain't done nothing and He's done it all. Amen. It's God that has done every bit of this for me and you. And we ought to praise Him for the plenty that He's provided in our lives. Look down at verse number 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. Amen? You ever do that? Push back from the table, your belly's full, you just about to go to sleep, you want a bowl of ice cream, and you say, thank God! Amen. God's good. Amen? I mean, that's what He said. You ought to bless the Lord. You and I ought to be blessing and praising God. When you've eaten, when you're full, then just praise God for what He has given in your life. There's plenty. God's got plenty. Now, I'm looking at some of y'all. Y'all looking at some of me, right? And I'm telling you, y'all seeing more of me than you ought to. You know why? Because God's been good. Amen. I mean, every one of us can say that, right? God has been good to us. Amen? I know there are people in our country that probably little kids and some families where people go to bed without it. Now, I got it. But can I tell you, most of them don't. And I'll guarantee most of us don't. And if you do, you come see me after church and we'll see what we can do to take care of that. Amen? But I'm just telling you, there's stuff. We sang that song, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's, you know, there's a roof up above me and the shoes on feet and all that stuff. And I got plenty to eat. Say amen right there. I mean, God is good to us. And you know what we ought to do? We ought to praise Him for it. We ought to praise Him for His goodness. So there's one thing that I think this chapter shows is that you and I ought to remember. There ought to be a lesson that we see about how that God blesses us in those financial issues, the financial thing. He has blessed us on that side. But something else is in this chapter that I think the Word shows out to us is you and I need to remember you've got a God that's faithful. We've got a God that is faithful. Aren't you glad that, boy, the writer said that His mercies are new every morning. When you get up, when you got up this morning, God said, guess what? Rise and shine. I got a new day of mercies just for you. And when you get up in the morning, God's going to say, guess what? I've got another new day of mercy just for you. Woo! When you get up, hey, and buddy, I don't care if it's a raining, if it's a shining, if it's a snowing, if it's doing whatever, thank God, God's still good because He's faithful. Amen? He's faithful. He's blessing every day and every morning. I want you to notice how He talks about the faithfulness of God. Notice, first of all, He said God is faithful because He leads us. Look at verse number 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. You need to think about how that God has led you. Can I tell you, hey, God's led me down this way, and thank God I ain't regretted a bit of it. There's a lot of times I didn't understand it. There's a lot of times I didn't really know where it was going. I didn't understand. I didn't know. But thank God He was there. And as we sing in that song, He'll hold of my hand. Thank God He's got a hold of it. He ain't letting go. And I'm a following right on through with Him. Amen. He has led us. God and His leadership is the great blessing. Look down here in verse number 7 and notice what He says. He says, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. God's led them, and He's led them to a good land. Listen to what He says. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Hey, do you get that? God's taking care. He's led me. Well, I just don't know where He's going. You remember the spies coming back and said, we can't take the land. And there was two guys, wasn't there? There was two out of those. Joshua and Caleb, and said, oh yeah, we're well able. We can do it. God's given them into our hands. Amen. And boy, the rest of them are scared. Can I tell you, when God's leading, when you're following God's leadership, you may not know the way. You may not have the roadmap. But can I tell you, just trust Him. He does. He's got the roadmap. He knows how to lead you. He said, look, I've led you. I'm leading you into this land. He said, you're going to eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. He said, you're in a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hill thou mayest dig brass. You're going to have everything that you need to establish the people that I said you're going to be. Now, that's physical for them. It is spiritual for us. But we've got the same problem they do. We just don't know if it's going to work out that way or not. But can I tell you, when God's in it, trust Him. Trust Him. Trust His leadership. Amen? You know, we sing that song sometimes, there is an unseen hand that, you know, that's with me, guides me, and all that song talks about. But thank God, aren't you glad there is one? I mean, that's not just a song. That's a reality. There is an unseen hand that leads me and guides me through this weary land. I don't know how I'm getting where I'm going, but thank God I'm just simply trusting to that unseen hand. I'm going to let Him lead. And I'm going to do my very best to follow the direction that He's leading. Isn't that amazing? God led them. And you know how He led them. He had a pillar of a cloud by day. That cloud hovered over them and it protected them. And it blessed them. And it took care of them from the heat and the problems that could come from that. And God just put a cloud over. And then when they went at night, He gave them a pillar of fire so they could see where they're going. You'd say, boy, that's great. I wish God would do that. He does do that for me and you. He gives us His sweet Holy Spirit that's down on the inside of us. And He begins to speak to me and you and says, do this. Amen. Go this way. Talk to this one. Get in that. And, you know, whatever it may be. The Holy Spirit of God is there to do those things for us that the pillar of cloud and the fire did for them in that day. God just simply gives us His presence. God gives us His presence. So they were led. But not only were they led, and God was faithful to lead them. God was faithful. He led them and then He fed them. Amen? He fed them. Hey, do you see that? How that He took care of them. He fed them. Look here in verse number 2 again. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord led thee these 40 years of wilderness to humble thee and to prove to thee and to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments. Look what He said. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, but listen, and He fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee only to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. What is He saying? He's saying God fed them. And He fed them so that they would know that it was Him. He gave them manna every day. They get up in the morning, what are we having today? Well, I believe we're having manna again. Amen. And you know what? It was sufficient for them. It satisfied their hunger. It blessed them. And it was there with the exact daily and family giving that every one of them needed. They had it. God fed them. Amen. I mean, God fed them. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Hey, I'm telling you again, there's folks tonight, they don't know. They're looking in the cupboard. They're checking cabinets. They're looking everywhere they can. And they say, we just don't know what we're going to eat tomorrow. And that's sad, isn't it? I mean, it's sad, and I know that it happens. And I'm telling you this, those folks that are in that situation, I'm not telling you they're lost. I'm not telling you that there's, you know, something on their life that's whatever, a burden or a problem. It is a burden to them. But can I tell you, I'm looking in my Bible, and David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm telling you, God's always able to provide. Now, I didn't say you're eating filet mignon. I didn't say you're having, you know, the finest side dishes and all of the best stuff. That may not be so, but thank God, aren't you glad he can give you some bread and some water, and buddy, that'll be enough to sustain you until things change in your life. God's still able to feed us. Amen? Y'all probably heard the name George Mueller. He was a preacher of old back several hundred years ago. And God put it on his heart to start an orphanage. And he didn't go to the state. He didn't run to the government. He didn't take money from any of those things. He just simply did it by the grace of God. I mean, just by God and God's people giving. One morning they got up, and the people in the kitchen come to him and said, Mr. Miller, we don't have anything for the children to eat. And he said, get the children together. They all gathered in the dining hall. And he said, children, we need to pray. And he began to pray. And he said, God, you know what we need. You know that I need to feed these children. You know our hunger. You know everything about us. And we simply pray that you'd be like you were in the wilderness and rain down some bread upon us from heaven. We need your help. They got through praying, and they sat there in the kitchen. And just in a matter of moments, there was a knock on the large front door of the hall. One of the attendees went and opened the door, and there was a man there that said, can I see Mr. Mueller? He came to the door, and he said, yes, sir. He said, what can I do to help you? And he said, well, I'm a baker. He said, and I'm on my way. I'm on my way to deliver a load of baked goods. And my cart has broken down. And I don't think I'm going to be able to get it fixed today. Do you think that the orphanage could use the bread that I have? Woo! Hallelujah! I'm just telling you, God is still able. God can still feed you. I mean, I don't understand. I'll tell you, lots of, I'm scared to think of it. You ever thought of numbers sometimes and you think, there ain't no way this could be done. The number's too big. The situation's too much. I mean, it's out of hand. You know what? Jesus had his disciples that looked at him and they said, hey, these 5,000 of the men plus the women and children, it's just too much. We can't feed them. And Jesus said, well, what do you got? And one of them said, well, 200 penny worth. But that's not, 200 pennies ain't enough to buy enough bread to feed this crowd. He said, well, what do you have? And oh, Andrew came in and said, well, I found this little boy. And he's offered up his two fish and his five loaves of bread. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, sit them down. We're going to feed them. Woo! And he did. And they took up 12 baskets of the fragments that remain. You'd say, well, that's impossible. I know it is. But that's what I'm telling you. God can feed you. If God can take care of the birds of the air, if God can dress the lilies of the field, if God can provide in strange ways that you and I don't understand, I still don't get it. How did Elijah sit there and them birds said, hey, buddy, we're bringing you in a meal right now. They came and they fed him with bread and flesh in the morning and bread and the flesh in the evening. And he drank at the brook. And thank God, God took care of him. Amen. And then God sent him to a widow woman that didn't have nothing. And you know what he did? He fed him there. Somebody said between 6 years and a year, or 6 months and a year. What'd she have? Nothing at the bottom of the barrel, but it kept getting her every day. How did that happen? I'm just telling you, sometimes you don't understand it, but God can feed us. God fed them. God led them. And then, notice this. Some other way you see God and His faithfulness is in what God said to them. God said some things to them. It's His word to me and you. But He said some things to these people. Look in verse number 3. He said, He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee, which thou knewest not. He said, neither did thy father know. That He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only. But listen, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. God said some things to them that gave them life. God was faithful to them to give them His word. And in His word, there was something they could trust. There was something they could count on. There was something that He never wavered from. God said, I'm going to give you manna every day. And you know what He did? He gave manna every day. God said, I'm going to provide water out of the rock. And He said, Moses, go there and smite the rock. Moses smote the rock. Water came gushing forth. I'm just telling you, God says some things. And when He says it, He means it. And He does it. Why? Because He's faithful. God is faithful to me and you. God will do these things that He says. Look in verse number 6. He says, therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways and to fear Him. You and I need to hear what the Word of God says because He's faithful to tell us His Word. And if we hear it, if we keep it, then, hey, we can walk in those ways and we learn to fear Him and we learn that God is faithful in His Word. He says some things and you know what we do? I can't believe that. I don't know if that'll work. I'm not sure about that. Brother, what you and I've got to do is just learn, yes, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. Amen? I mean, that's the kind of faithfulness that God's looking for. God's faithful to speak it. He's faithful to say it. You and I just need to be faithful to hear it. So you see that He gives us a lesson in this. And you need to remember those things on the financial side of things. Remember that there's the faithfulness of God in our life. But one more thing I want you to see is this that He reiterates. Remember not to forget these things. Boy, how often do we forget? I mean, seriously. The children of Israel saw God do some amazing things. They're down there at the Red Sea. What are we going to do? God backs her up, blows her off, and lets them walk across on dry ground. And the next day, what do they do? Mumbling and grumbling and fussing. Well, don't you see what God just did? What, you know, where you been doing? But you know what? Me and you are the same way. We tend to forget what God said. Now, let me just show you how their forgetfulness was and how it matches up with ours, if you will. Look in verse number 11 again. He said, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day. Listen, he says, I want you to beware. Beware that you don't wind up in that forgetful mindset. Why? Because first of all, it manifests itself as me and you being disobedient people. I mean, we wind up being disobedient. He said that I'm commanding you these things, and you know what I've done for you. He said, but look, in verse number 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. It will manifest itself for me and you. If we're not careful, we'll manifest our forgetfulness in disobedience. I mean, and that's it. Now, how many of you have ever told your kids, don't you do that again? And they do it again. And you tell, now, didn't I tell? Well, I forgot. I wasn't supposed to eat that extra cookie. You know, that's the way you and I do. We tell God, well, I forgot. Well, I mean, sometimes we don't forget. We're disobedient. We know, but we just disobey. We just turn our hearts to where we say, well, I'll get by with it. I'll do it anyway. I'm going to go against what I know. And you're being a disobedient person. Can I tell you? And listen, that's every one of us. That's me and that's you. We've all done that, to be disobedient toward the Lord. Everybody. Everybody. I mean, the Bible said that there's none of us that are righteous. There's none of us that are seeking after God. There's none of us that have not done wrong. There's nobody in this room that hasn't done something wrong in their lives. Amen? And you know what that is? That's disobedience to God. And through your flesh, you can't keep those things that God... Now, God said, look, remember my commandments. Remember my ordinances. Remember my statutes. Remember all these things which I've commanded you. Because, you see, it'll manifest itself in disobedience. But it'll also manifest itself this way, as ourselves saying that we're dependent upon our own selves. Oh, listen. This is, again, it goes back to the pride issue. I can handle this myself. God, I don't need you. I can do this. I can take care. You know what that is? Buddy, that's trouble right there. When you start getting self-centered and self-assured and self, oh, listen, I can do all this. You're depending upon your own self. Can I tell you, anybody in this room along with me, I can't depend on my best 5 seconds in this world to get me into heaven. Amen. I've got to have Him. My entire dependence is upon Him. Anything that I try to do, anything I do within myself, brother, it's of sin and it won't stand before God. He said, look, all of you, He said, you better beware, there again in verse number 11, beware that you forget not the Lord thy God. He said in verse 12, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, silver and gold multiply, all that you've got multiply, thine heart be lifted up. I did it thy way. Amen. You know, that's the American way. I guess it probably is a worldwide way. But we sure do think that we're pretty much something here in America. Look what we've done. Amen? Can I tell you, God can, with the flip of His finger, tear down everything that me and you've done in that amount of time. Just, pew, He can knock us down to the ground. And look, I don't care who you are. Let me tell you, it don't matter who the president is. It don't matter who's sitting in Congress. It don't matter what law and what statutes they pass. Can I tell you, God still overrules everything that any man can ever do. And you can stand and strain and furrow your brow and do everything you want to and tremble and shake and, boy, act like you're strong and bad. But God can bring you down because it simply manifests itself through our self-deception is what it really is. When we think we can do it within ourselves, we are saying, I don't need God. Can I tell you? Oh, the songwriter said, I need Thee every hour. Oh, we need Him. I need Him. We need Him more, the psalmist said, than our necessary bread. We need God more than anything else in this world. You and I need Him. We need Him. All right? Let's look at one more thing that he says about forgetting. It will manifest itself in destruction. Look at verse number 19. And it shall be, if thou do at all forsake the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them. Listen to what God says. I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. Verse 20. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. He said, you'll manifest the fact that you've forgotten everything I've said. And really, sometimes I don't know if we've forgotten or we just, you know, don't care to listen. But it'll manifest itself, and you'll be in a place of destruction. I'll just kind of let you think about this. 1963, when a lot of us was little kids in school, and somebody came along, and they said, we want prayer removed from school. Some of y'all remember that. Some of you are old enough to remember that. And our government said, well, oh yeah. This little lady by the name of Madeline Murray O'Hare ranted and raved and stomped and snorted and protested and carried on and said, that not ought to be done in our schools. We don't want everybody forced to pray to a God they might not. We don't need God in school. Amen? Soon after that, things began to change in the government. And they began to say, well, you know, we got to kind of separate. We got to do this. And you know what God says a lot of times? I'm going to let you have what you want, but you sure ain't going to like what's going to happen when it does happen. And there's things have changed. And, I mean, some of y'all are not old enough to remember, but, hey, when we was kids, you went to the principal's office because you was blowing bubble gum, because you slapped somebody, or because you just might have gotten to a little tussle, a little, you know, a little disagreement or whatever, and they straightened her out pretty quick and in a hurry. Amen? I mean, you remember that? Some of y'all could really say amen, because you got a whooping in school, and then you went home, you got a whooping. Amen? But let me tell you, well, we've come along. We've come along. Now you're in 2025. What do you got in schools nowadays? Yeah. I mean, you have to worry about your children going to school and making it home that they're not attacked by somebody coming in with a gun. You got to worry about them going to school and not getting some kind of pill given to them that's laced with a deadly drug. You've got to worry that the school teacher is not molesting some of the children that are in her class. That's where we are in 2025. And, well, what do you blame it? I'm blaming it on us. You haven't obeyed the Lord your God. And God said, I'll bring some destruction. And he brought destruction on the children of Israel because of what? Their disobedience. So we've decided we don't like God, we don't want God, and we ain't going to have God. But I always think it's funny. Every time we're having, you know, elections and all these people get up and make speeches, last thing they'll say is, God bless you and God bless America. Hey, buddy, the chance for that is for me and you getting on our faces and repenting of our sin, turning from our wicked ways and calling out and asking to see God from heaven. Then, he said, I'll hear you. But until then, don't expect him to do what he used to do. Amen? I'm just telling you, disobedience gets you into all kinds of trouble. Do you know what, and we've studied this with David and before that when Saul was king. Saul was king until he came as a disobedient person before God. Samuel said, go down and kill all the Amalekites and all their stuff, get rid of it. And then when Samuel came to meet Saul, he said, you done everything God said to you? Yeah, I've done everything. He said, well, why am I hearing the lambs bleat and the oxen giving that little lowing call? Well, we saved some of that disobedience. And he brought King Agag, and Agag said, surely the sorrow and the pain of death has passed. And God said, kill all of them. Well, he brought him back a trophy, and he brought him back some stuff that satisfied people and all that, and that ain't what God said to do. Now, I know sometimes we don't understand it. What did God tell him to do? I don't even worry. We ain't going to get into that. But I'm just telling you, obedience. You know what Samuel told Saul? God hath removed thee, taken away the kingship of thee. He said, because of your disobedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. and to hearken is better than the bringing a lamb. I mean, it's just, hey, you've got to listen to what God says to do. Are we hearing Him today? Are we hearing Him? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of some song this evening. Are you listening to God as He's speaking to you? He says, remember, this is some lessons.